views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Sinner Genetic Living Radio is a conscious reality creation journey. Tune in as Rick and Grace Paris teach you the innovative approach and new philosophy that will shift your entire paradigm of what it is to be a human being. Sinner Genetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. As a shaman for 20 years, Rick Paris has been guiding people to fuller existences since his first workshop in 1995. He is well-versed in a wide variety of healing arts, including being an Enneagram expert. Grace Paris serves synergetic living clients powerfully and beautifully by embodying the fundamental role of a feedback provider, graciously guiding people to their own realizations and higher purposes. On this show, Rick and Grace will share with listeners the key to unlocking the infinite potential of human consciousness in order to create a life of preference. Learn to author your own destiny with Synergetic Living Radio.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Grace Paris. I'm here with my partner, Rick.
Good afternoon.
And you are listening to Synergetic Living Radio. Stay tuned with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience a new philosophy, a new way to heal yourself, and a totally new approach to life. Each Friday on Synergetic Living Radio, we will have new and exciting solutions to everyday problems in this time of chaos and great change.
So, another Friday, and today, I think I wanted to talk about intimacy. I already talked about intimacy, so I'm not going to talk about intimacy today. Grace, like, you already talked about that. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, so as always, I'd really rather talk to clients. If there's anybody out there that would like to call in and talk to us about anything at all, it would be fun and exciting for us for people to do so. Our number is 800-930-2819. Anyway. So let's just talk about metaphysics in general, because one of the things that I've been studying now for a while is alchemy. What I did was I had started studying because I learned some healing techniques that were, you know, a few hundred years old, and I was kind of getting interested in this construct called mesmerism. And mesmerism was basically pre-hypnotism. And a mesmerist at that time would be able to direct energy in a way that you would, many times the patient would get in touch with their higher self. They would basically, the conscious self would step aside and they could speak to the person unconsciously. And what was fascinating about mesmerism was prior to chloroform, that they used mesmerism in order to put a person under, so when they operated on them, they didn't use anesthetics because they didn't exist yet.
Now, I was under the impression that they were still awake and conscious.
No. They could be. They could have them awake and conscious and only cut part of the feeling off.
Well,
anything they wanted with the patient.
The beauty of it is that they can access the higher self to get remedies, like the person's personal solutions to the problems, too.
Sometimes. The thing is, that's why science didn't like mesmerism, because it wasn't something you could do every time, and not everybody could do it to everybody. But the people who were really good at it could basically put a person under, you know, under their consciousness. And the nice thing about mesmerism was they could keep people under for as long as they needed to keep them under, and could bring them out when the procedures were finished.
Without the intense side effects of what chloroform was doing, right?
Yeah, chloroform took people 2 or 3 days to recover from the experience, because the problem with chloroform, it was not only numbing out the physical body, but it numbed out all the nervous systems, the brain functions, the body functions. So people were really in bad shape when they came back from this. But the medical community wanted something that was predictable and duplicatable, and so they would use this chloroform. But prior to that, it was mesmerism. People would be put under, and it was, they could do it. If somebody was really good at it, they could do it immediately on the battlefield. If they had to amputate somebody, within a couple of minutes, they could put somebody under, amputate the limb, and wake them up, and they would not feel necessarily the pain of what they were experiencing before, so they could move them out. And so most physicians were using people who were good at that. And a lot of physicians could do it themselves. And like I said, it morphed into hypnotism, where the funny thing is, when you study this in depth, hypnotism and mesmerism were nothing alike, just as alchemy and chemistry were nothing alike. So when I was taking this apart, this whole mesmerism, and really looking for books, I mean, it took a long time for me to find. There's a lot to read on it, but not a lot to read on how to do it or how they taught people how to do it. And it came from what most people would agree that are into this. It came from Paracelsus, which was a German physician from a few hundred years earlier, had come across this. And so Antoine Mesmer was his name, and the word mesmerism, mesmerize someone, to mesmerize, came from mesmerism, and from his name, Antoine Mesmer. And so Mesmer had figured out how to teach people this, but he was very secretive about teaching people this. And there's many, many, many stories. For instance, they had 100% success rate with epileptics with this process. So they could take a person down, and the person would go into a crisis. Well, some people were so sensitive that they could literally be consciously out, and their higher self, you could address their higher self. And so what the physician would do was ask their higher self, what's the problem with this person? Why are they, you know, in the state they are? And what does it take to get their body back? What do they need to know? And so the person would tell the mesmerizer exactly what the process was, what needed to happen, and how to heal themselves. And they would take them back out of trance or state or whatever you want to call it. And the person would just give them the information. No matter how bizarre it sounded, they would always tell the person, this is what you need to do now. And so most of the time when a person would follow the instructions, they would heal. And instructions weren't always the same for everybody. So it was very personalized. And of course, people were trying to figure out what that was. And then, you know, after wanting to teach people, they came up with the concept of hypnotism. And so hypnotism ended up being what people use today, which they really aren't even the same thing at all. And I thought it was kind of a shame that we lost this amazing way to heal people, because science, being the aspect of science that wants to analyze and separate, where this was a synthesis between the practitioner and the person and their higher self. And some people were so incredibly profound when their higher self was present that some of these physicians would find what they called a sensitive, and the sensitive would travel with the physician, because the sensitive could be put under and tell what it took to heal somebody else's body.
Wow.
Even if the sensitive didn't have any understanding of anatomy, any understanding of healing whatsoever. But if the person could be put under the mesmerism, if they could be mesmerized, this person could turn around and be used as a vehicle for healing others. And so a lot of people did that. And so the physicians would take these people around, and what would happen was the sensitive got so sensitive they could really ask the person about anything. And they even tested people in a way that a person in the room would write on a piece of paper to another person. They would send it across the city and ask somebody else to read it. And the sensitive would tell it what the guy was doing. He's opening it now. He's reading it now. So they could literally, they were, what do they call that when a person is...
Simpatico?
No. They could see things from far away. They could, and they started realizing it didn't matter how far away people were, but a person who was memorized and was sensitive could actually explain what was going on, like remote viewing in a sense. But they could be completely guided and ask questions. So I thought it was super fascinating. And the only reason I really got to that was because I was reading on Tesla, and I had read something in Faust that triggered me, because Tesla makes a lot of comments about Faust and Goethe, and I was reading about that. So I got all this mesmerism for about 6 months, and I learned how to do it, and it's teachable, and it's pretty amazing. And no, I prefer that not to be done. I don't like that. But anyway, I'm talking to my wife. So then what happens is I learn about all this mesmerism, and I was really fascinated. And then I decided to pursue it even farther. But I think we're going to have to take a break right now, and we'll come back to this discussion on mesmerism and how I got to this other understanding about healing. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
we're live. So if you want to call in and ask questions about stuff we've talked about in the past or things that are coming up now, 800-930-2819. Again, that's 800-930-2819.
So we're talking a little bit about mesmerism at the moment. My bigger picture about all this was really understanding what was going on with, like Tesla, for instance, is what I really started off with. But it was like Tesla figured out how to create free energy from a set and setting. Like there had to be people he was reading to figure out how to do what he did. And so that's really what my past started. And I was trying to figure out, like, who did Tesla read about? What was Tesla studying where he was understanding how to create free energy where we don't really understand how he did it today? And so that path led me into mesmerism, which I discovered a healing modality that is completely doable and not that hard to learn. And it's really based on ether, which was what Tesla's work was based on, working with the ether. And so people who worked with mesmerizing people, they were really working with the ether, and it was learning that the ether was something that you could pull down, pull through your body and pull through another person's body. And if they would give their will to this person who was moving the ether would actually heal their body. If you really look it up and realize how many books were written, because at that particular time, the medical community was really trying to make things teachable and understandable. And when all these, let's say, witch doctors and things like this of that nature is what they kind of called these people. And they called them quacks, actually, the people that were doing healing. But they were getting amazing results all the time. And the medical community was really upset because a lot of the medical doctors couldn't do mesmerism because they were trained in a way and they couldn't understand how it would work. So there are many, many books written on arguments for and against mesmerism. But obviously the current medical model was adopted. But they really did understand something. So what made me more curious was like, well, where did these guys get the idea from? And then that started, and it was during the Age of Enlightenment. And then at that point, I was asking myself, well, how do these people, why do they call the Age of Enlightenment the 16th, 17th centuries? Why did they determine that as being the Age of Enlightenment? And so I wanted to understand more about that. So I started reading more people and finding more obscure old books that were out of print to read. And what I came across was, in my system of learning, of creating reality consciously, what you're really doing is understanding how to co-create with the environment. It's a synthesis where what happened, if you go around the Age of Enlightenment, what really happened is the same thing that to me happens to children in their terrible twos, let's call them. And again, I don't know what else to call that, but I really hate calling it the terrible twos because you're at a state in your development where you recognize yourself for the first time. Prior to year and a half or 2 years old, you really don't know you're not your mother. Your mom's happy, you're happy, what she likes, you like. You don't even know you're your own person. You're so into the connection, the psychic connection you have with your mother. And so what happens is you start understanding, and know is such a profound word for them because they're recognizing children that they have their own preferences. They have their own way of looking at the world, and it isn't their mother. And it's the first time they really understand, I'm not my mother. I'm my own person. And when I looked at the Age of Enlightenment, what I understood was, that is an enlightening moment for a child, right? Oh man, I'm not you, I'm my own person. And I push it off the table 50 times and no, I don't want that. Well, humanity, I think, was going through the same thing in the so-called Age of Enlightenment, because most of the books, most of what they understood, and mesmerism included, had to do with a person's will. A person who is more willful about the act of producing a mesmerized person the way that they discerned if somebody was good at it or not was how willful the person was and how imaginative the person was as they were running this process on somebody. And after a person had gone under this process numerous times with a person that was trustworthy to them, they could be placed in a mesmeric state almost immediately, because of the rapport of the two people and the will of the operator. So what I recognized was will was what woke up in the Age of Enlightenment. Humanity was really starting to understand the power of the will and how much will played a part in everything, and how will was connected to the imagination, and how will was a function of the way that they seen a human being evolve, because that was what humans had. They had the ability to will. They had the ability to choose. And so since the will was so profound and they understood it, it's where the will started really driving. But what happened, science started coming around. And what was lost was the ability to know you're connected to everything, because what science did was make sense out of the enchantment of the world. You know, people back then still thought the world was born the sun was born every morning and it died at night, and the moon came and there was a different system going on at nighttime, a system of regeneration that was operating. And so there was this other German guy, I think his name is slipping out of my mind at the moment, but this guy decided to study people who were sleepwalking. And at that time, people used to think sleepwalkers were people who were possessed. And what they started learning over time was this person, Von, let's just call him, I know I'm not saying his name right at the moment, Von Reich, he was a researcher in a sense, and he was a very wealthy guy. And he decided to start researching why these people sleepwalk. And he had to do it in silence and in privacy, because people didn't want to admit that some of their kids were sleepwalking, because they would think they were possessed and they would be exorcised or something, or hung or burned even from doing this. And, you know, that's what they call a lunatic, is a person who is possessed by the moon. And these sleepwalkers were considered lunatics. But what they would recognize was these sleepwalkers couldn't be awakened, and they couldn't be interrupted, and they couldn't be hurt. I mean, they could hurt themselves, let's say, but you could pinch them, you could try to startle them, you could fire a weapon next to them, and they wouldn't wake up necessarily. And so this person starts studying them and realized that there was the moonlight had a very specific power of regeneration. And so mesmerism was also playing with this moonlight and this regenerative properties of the nighttime. And so here was another person, he was another German, who was really interested in, you know, what they were calling the supernatural. But what they were really doing was they were removing enchantment. Instead of things being possessed and magical and things like that, they removed the enchantment. They removed, this is the reason. So they used will and logic and reason to really break it down and say, this is why that's happening. It's not demons. It's not something this. It's not something that. It's not magic. It's just plain old logic and reason, you know, explaining away the enchantment. And, you know, of course, that in our evolution, that enchantment needed to be reemerge differently, because we couldn't go on believing, you know, the sun was born every day. We had to understand more, because in order to evolve, you have to have greater understanding. And so all these different people were doing a tremendous amount of research at the time that Will woke up, but they were still very connected to nature. The way that people were healed was in alignment with nature. I never knew this before, but physicians back in the 13th, well, even earlier than that, but let's just say all the way up until the 14th and 15th century, were astrologers. And one of the things that they always did was check your chart because they had realized in the earlier 11th and 12th century that they were predicting when a person would die and how they could die just by their astrological chart, because they understood what was going on in nature. And they knew nature so well, there were patterns in nature that they were following. It's why they say alchemists could turn, you know, lead into gold. You know, they could transmute it. And what I started understanding by these books was they had a natural understanding of how nature worked, and nobody did anything without nature. They would always utilize nature in the process, which is something we don't do at all now. We don't really engage nature. We're trying to dominate nature rather than to work with nature and let nature solve the problems that we have. And I thought that was really fascinating, because in my work, we have to be in touch with our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind, and our conscious mind. And the funny thing about alchemy is alchemists knew alchemy was a spiritual pursuit. Alchemists would have to understand their nature. They would have to understand the nature of what they were evolving, what they were trying to lift into another, a greater understanding of nature in order to lift nature. So while they were healing people, they needed to understand the person's nature and their interaction with nature itself in order to understand how to best heal a person. And I was fascinated by that. So then I started really looking at the way that they used astrology back then. And it was really fascinating, because then you start getting into how the Egyptians were using astrology and how all these other cultures, the Mayans, were using astrology. And I could start applying that to the work that I'm doing. And I started really understanding even my own work much, much better. But we're going to go on a break, and we'll just continue this free flow discussion on metaphysics and how they can be used in your everyday life while using the patterns in nature to heal ourselves. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's Heaven Sent Guided Angel Meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, we're back on Synergenetic Living Radio, 800-930-2819 if you want to call in. It's a lot more fun for us when we have callers to engage. And don't be bashful. You can keep it anonymous, you can change your name. But right now we're on the topic of alchemy, astrology, and how to apply it in your everyday life and your everyday healing. And how beautiful and powerful that is.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to put some things together in a way. At the end, I hope it goes together. But when we start looking from a metaphysical point of what was going on in the world, what's going on now, you know, everybody's really talking about oneness and wanting to be connected and wanting to be really, you know, more coming from a holistic point of view. Well, everything operated from that way once. We were already operating from that way. And science, and I'm not saying rightly or wrongly so, but there's an impact. And so science and the will was born in the Age of Enlightenment. And that will has been driving us forward consciously ever since, but at the expense of a holistic, more metaphysical experience. And so I think the pendulum is naturally swinging back today. I think what's happening is we're looking for a more holistic approach, and will has taken us so far the pendulum has swung, we've forgotten that nature is the way out. Following nature, inducing nature from a conscious position. And so what's happening is I'm starting to recognize that these older ways of doing things had a tremendous amount of wisdom within them. They did understand there was much more going on here. They were very in touch with the elements and how they played out in a person's body. For instance, these physicians back then would understand, looking at your astrological chart, what elements stuck out. And if you were having a very specific kind of disease, they would look at the disease. And the alchemists were also included in this, because the alchemists broke life down to three fundamental basics. There was sulfur, there was mercury, and there was salt. And everything is reflected in some form of salt, sulfur, and mercury. And it's just different proportions of each. And those also have the elements included in them, salt, sulfur, and mercury. And so what they were understanding was, if a person had a lot of, let's say, I mean, I'm not very good at understanding this conversation as much as I just want to make a point of moving into greater awareness to really incorporate what was genius about these past civilizations. They were naturally in touch with what was unconscious to them. You know, they knew that nature was something. I mean, even the American Indians never saw themselves separate from the land, never saw themselves separate from the sun and the stars. They knew that the sun and the stars were part of their experience. So when the will elevated, really understanding that we were separate beings, we start getting super infatuated with directing our will and directing nature, and realizing we're the top of the food chain and nature has to listen to us. We're like the boss of everything, in a kind of a sensing. And so looking for that holistic approach is what we were really looking for now. And so I think in the past, to understand, they had a lot of gifts and understanding. They had a lot of things that they understood back then that it would be wise for us to incorporate now, but not to go back there and think that, oh, they knew everything. We know a lot of wonderful things about the world around us today because of that will, because of that desire. But just like a child who comes into their will, the next few years you're working with a child to try to understand how to direct their will. Because as you know, when a little kid lays on the ground and starts screaming, we have to teach them how to deal with the world around them. And so we do that. So what's happening is people are trying to incorporate, and I think that what I'm trying to say is the older way is present. The older way can be done. The older way had so much beauty in it. That oneness that we're looking for was part of their everyday life. You know, that's why they thought people were possessed when a person was acting weird. They didn't understand what was going on, but they knew there were spirits around. They knew there were fairies, for instance. A lot of these publications will talk about the fairy folk openly, like they knew they were around and everybody knew it. We don't see fairies today. And I know these people were far from stupid. They knew something that we do not see today, that we're not calibrated to understand. We're not used to looking at the environment around us as a friendly ally. Free energy is basically understanding the patterns in nature and amplifying them using our conscious will. If you could amplify the environment, you know, like, you know, plants grow according to the seasons. If you could understand how those seasons grew and how what that plant was going through, and you could speed it up, you could speed up the evolution of the plant. And that's what alchemy did. Alchemy wasn't turning one thing into another form by necessarily transmutation. They didn't see themselves doing that. What they saw themselves doing is evolving a particular thing, because all things were a function of the movement of the planets, the elements, and the amount of each element included in the thing itself. And so a particular like metals, they would say there's seven metals. And I don't know their order of preference, but it would be like there was tin and there was copper and there was lead and there was brass and there was aluminum and there were all these metals. But for them, metals were on a thread of evolution. And the earth, they would say, if you left the copper in the earth long enough, the copper naturally turns into silver. That silver naturally evolves into gold. And gold was the highest state of the elements, because technically gold moves. So they would say there's water in the movement of the gold, the malleability of the gold, the sun, the yellow color, the sun, the element of the sun, fire was in the gold, and gold is warm to a degree. It can move temperature through it very easily. They also would say that not only did gold move and it was yellow, but it couldn't be broken down by water. It can't be broken down by any of the elements. It can't be destroyed. So for them, gold was the process of evolution of physical matter getting to the peak of itself. So the metals had a hierarchy. And alchemy was just trying to figure out, well, if I can change things by evolving them. So they inherently, because they knew pattern and they knew that they were looking at the world through these eyes, they could figure things out. And that's how Tesla really figured out. Tesla was at a time where he was deeply into the will. But people like Goethe and Faust in the story, they were talking about what it was, what was going on in the area of science, and how there were so many arguments going on about how to approach a system, because all these people wanted to include the old system. But because the old system wasn't a black and white system, where chemistry, for instance, replaced alchemy, well, there really aren't even the same thing remotely, because alchemy is a system of synthesizing. You're understanding the influence one thing has on the other, where chemistry is completely analyzing and separating the parts, separating the natural parts and saying, well, this is not really a synergy. They're not, the sum of the parts are not greater than the whole is the greater than the sum of its parts in alchemy. Well, chemistry doesn't do that. There's a percentage given to everything. But the funny thing is, there's things left over from alchemy. For instance, if they were doing a healing, they always understood that the unknown had to be included. So if you ever see gold, nobody ever says it's 100% gold. It's not because it's not 100% gold, but they always say 99.9. Because in alchemy, they knew the element of the unknown had to always be included in the system. So they would never consider something 100% anything, because things are always changing. And so they would always add in the element of change within their system. So alchemy was about synthesis. And once I really learned a lot about alchemy, I was really disappointed in the way that we're looking at the world, because alchemy, there were things in alchemy that they could do. For instance, there was a church in Germany that would have walnuts. It would keep going through its process of flowering and care and have walnuts multiple times during the year. And everybody thought it was a miracle. Well, it turns out there was an alchemist that lived nearby, and that alchemist was causing that tree to step up its evolutionary process. So if we could understand that better, we could solve our own problems right now in the world. If we could understand that because we're conscious, we can lift evolution. It's one of my things that I say to people is growth is constant, change is instant. The reason that is everything's following an unconscious pattern. The universe, the nature around us is all following an unconscious pattern, and it will evolve continually on its own. But human beings are conscious, and being they're conscious, they can decide if something evolves or not, or even to elevate that evolution. What Tesla was doing was elevating a vibration to the point that it was usable, because everything's vibrating. And that's why I used to say, if people understood more about resonance, all the secrets of the universe could be opened up to us. And so I don't usually talk about this very often, because I don't have the perfect language for it. I don't have the perfect way to describe this. But we're going to go on break, and we'll be back in a minute, and I'll try to get a little bit more clear of what I'm trying to explain.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nooshin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
You're tuned into Synergenetic Living Radio, 800-930-2819 if you want to call in and join the conversation.
Yeah, and anyway, what I'm trying to open the door to a little bit was this kind of the edge of where I've been thinking lately. I've been really on this realization that if this is truly the age of enlightenment, this is where humanity wakes up this time right now. And the people who wake up first are going to be the people who design where the consensus follows. In a bell curve, there's always a beginning. There's those few people that are popping on the outside edge, and then it kind of takes off and expands and then trails off into something new again.
Right. Last segment, Rick was saying how disappointed he felt when he came across this information, this wisdom, this knowledge, and it was, I mean, I think that was an understatement. When he realized how backward we had actually been looking at things, because, I mean, I think intuitively we know that, and Rick knows that better than anyone, that we're looking at things backward, but on the scale of which we're going about things, there's so much more elegance and grace that this offers, and that's really the door we're trying to open right now. Is
that guy, I want to say, because Baron Carl von Reichenbach, that's the guy that I was reading about. If you want to like read these studies on when they discovered the ether and how they were trying to identify the ether and how much intense time this man spent in his life trying to prove in a scientific, beautiful way that this thing exists and it's and people can mutate it. They can do whatever they want with it if they understand how. The magnitude of this test. This guy was amazing. Baron Carl von Reichenbach. And you can Google like sleepwalking or synomalism next to his name and it'll come up. But if you like a scientific approach, read that guy's stuff, because you'll be like, oh my God, this guy went the extra mile, and people still didn't want to listen to these beautiful ways of seeing the world. And so, again, being keyed off to the whole title of this is the age of enlightenment, I'm like, not possible, it's now. Right. So what were they talking about? And it really was the will. It's the same thing going out in our society right now. That the will, the teenager, the willful part, the first part of ourselves that is empowered, our will comes in at 2 years old. But when we turn into teenagers and go through puberty, our will is, boom, look at what these teenagers are doing on this gun control thing, right? I mean, you can feel it. You remember when you were like that. You remember when you thought you could change the world. It's like all these old ways of looking at things are really reflecting. And what alchemists always thought is, and I'll butcher this too, I don't have a good memory for these sort of things, but it's what is above is so is below. What is above is so is below. I know I didn't say that right, but you know what I'm saying. If you understand how the stars work, the earth is working the same way. If you understand how the earth works, your body works the same way. Nature works the same way. And when you understand that pattern, these older ways of doing things knew how to interrupt the pattern, because they started out of the pattern. When the will woke up, it was the chance to get out of pattern, and humanity went in a new and different direction. And right now, we are in the age of enlightenment. In the age of enlightenment a few hundred years ago, it was the will. What does the will have to do? It goes through the adolescent. The world is reflecting adolescence right now. We have to be adults now. And how do you do that when you don't have an example of what an adult looks? The first time. But adulthood is a transformational choice in your life. And adulthood is what humanity is going through right now. Nothing more than stepping over a line and being ready to be a different person is going to help what's going on out there today. And these old ways of looking things, they knew how to get through a system. American government is an alchemical formula. That's why it's genius. That's why every person who signed the Declaration of Independence was an alchemist, because alchemy wasn't a science. It was a way to become a spiritual, enlightened person. Because when I could live the pattern and notice the patterns around me, I could amplify those patterns and I could change reality in accordance to me and nature. The will starts saying, I could do it without nature. I could do with nature whatever I wanted. And so we moved into this last few hundred years of really trying to be empowered and feeling empowered, and watching the whole earth change to who we were, to mold it. And then now realizing the molding that we're doing isn't benefiting the world anymore. And the world is a reflection of our unconscious mind. If the world is not elevating, it's a reflection of yourself. You're stuck in a pattern and you're trying desperately to get out. But you have to create a new system to get out of that old pattern. So enlightenment is a process of being self-authored. And so I can't do that from an adolescent and a child's perspective. And so alchemy holds a lot of keys how to get out of this problem. It's a time when language was available. People were sharing ideas and perspectives, and they were sharing about what they noticed about nature, not what they noticed about what they created. They were still really connected. And so they knew if I wanted to heal someone, I had to understand their chart. I had to understand what the energies of the stars were doing and how that reflected in their body and what needed to be added to their body, not only elementally, but also metaphysically, some form, some measurement of salt, some measurement of sulfur, some measurement of mercury, in such a way that their body returns to the root vibration. You evolve their body. You don't heal their body. You just create the environment that their body moves beyond it. And in mesmerism, Mesmer had a quote, and I think it still exists today, that no healing can come without crisis. It's because you have to confront the problem fully before you can let the problem go. And so today, the medicine that we're doing is covering the problem. And so you're really living in the problem all the time, and I can't feel it anymore. I've created a way around dealing with my problem. So we have such a vast amount of people right now who are on antidepressants, because instead of being the conscious being that I'm going to feel myself, I'm going to move through my emotions, I'm going to navigate myself, and I want to navigate myself naturally, to navigate myself in alignment with the environment. And so all I really am trying to communicate is how I evolve a human. I can take any problem and lift it. People say, you have the answer for everything. I don't. I have alchemy. I didn't even know I was an alchemist until now. I think in a very specific broad range pattern and can bring it down on anybody's level. I can elevate anything or anybody. I know that now. And now I understand how I do it. I just wasn't aware that I was doing alchemy to heal people, to explain to them what's going on in a way that they can move through it using the examples in their lives. It's alchemy. And so I just wanted to say I've appreciated and thanked the time I've been on this radio show. This is our last show. I was really wanting to engage people. I didn't really want to dump content. And so I'm realizing I'm not enjoying this and I'm not my best self. And so I'm going to walk away, because alchemy is that way. I'm not evolving on this radio show in this way. And so I just want to thank the people who were listening and thank Dr. Pat for putting me on here and giving me a chance to share in this way. And really, because I really understood now, I can't really do this without
feedback.
That's what alchemy is all about, to create a space to be my best self. And then what's the feedback? I'm just not creating the feedback mechanism operating on this radio show. And so I'm just going to let it go. This is our last show. And again, I just wanted to thank the people out there. And I wish I could remember more names, and I just don't. But I do appreciate everybody who took part in allowing us this time on air and to me to understand more about myself. I need to engage people one-on-one. That's where the beauty and the magic is, because the content I'm sharing exponentially changes when I'm engaged with another person, just like music does. Three notes make a chord that is more beautiful than the sum of the parts. And I have to have that feedback mechanism. So again, if you were listening and you didn't call, I wish you would have called.
Yeah, likewise. And we appreciate you tuning in. And look, if you find this recording at a later date and you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Synergenetic Living, or online.
Find us.
Synergeneticliving.com. You know, we're all over social media, so I hope you will connect with us and reach out. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks a lot. Bye. Hope you find us.
Tune in on Transformation Talk Radio for the latest on Synergenetic Living Radio with Rick and Grace Paris. Learn how to get clear on the life you desire. Synergenetic Living is a living, breathing, conscious experience. Rick and Grace will teach you the art of utilizing the future to create the now with a sense of artistic and absolute power, having dominion without domination. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, or to download an episode of Synergenetic Living Radio, visit synergeneticliving.com.